Hello and welcome to another edition of the Gobesky Wallace Report. I'm Adam Gobesky.
And I'm Charlie Wallace. Today we have one, two, three, four, count them, four guests. Doug Gobesky.
Hello.
Paul Wilcox.
Great to be here.
Tony Huff.
Cheery hello.
And Kevin Vredevoog.
Hello.
So what are we doing? What are we here for, Charlie?
I believe we have some taste tests. We've got some do's that need doing.
Just catching up. Frickin' episode.
Yeah, they're just catching up.
All right. Well, let's do the do because I'm thirsty. I have two flavors of Mountain Dew 20th anniversary. 20th Bajaversary. One is called Baja Point Break Punch. So I assume that's Keanu Reeves flavored. And the other is Baja Laguna Lemonade, which I assume tastes like the reality show Laguna Beach. Probably tastes like their urine, given the yellow color of it.
It is piss gold.
Maybe drink more water.
How would he drink like a gallon and a half a day, man?
Delightful. Oh, I should say Laguna Lemonade says it's mango lemonade, and the punch one says it's tropical punch flavor. Who else has these? Anyone?
Me.
Anyone else? All right, you and me, Doug. Which one do you want to go first?
Baja Point Break Punch.
All right, let's taste freedom.
Sure, it doesn't just taste like extreme sports? It
smells familiar, like some Dew flavor I've had before. Here we go.
Oh, I can really taste the tropics.
Yeah, it tastes a lot like that pineapple watermelon Faygo.
Mmm, the stuff that had just the most insane amount of sugar ever.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this. 74 grams.
Woof.
Yep.
Wow, 147% of my added sugars for the day.
Damn. Now I'm feeling bad about that Snickers I had at lunch. All right. So
the idea of not getting 100%, like, oh crap, I didn't get 100% of my added sugars.
Gotta go to the packets.
That's actually pretty good, honestly. Yeah, I did not expect it to actually have flavor.
Yeah, no, that's enjoyable. I would recommend that.
Yeah, same.
All right, let's move on to Laguna Lemonade, trademark.
Baja Laguna Lemonade.
I can smell the mango.
Yeah, you can smell the mango. Ooh.
That's not the worst thing I've had. Very mango heavy, though.
Yeah, like, it's lemonade in the sense that it's tart, but I don't really taste any lemon in there.
Yeah, tart mango.
I got a glass here. Let me combine the two.
Oh, I should just do that in my mouth.
And we'll try Tropical Mango Lemonade Punch. It has a almost peachy color to it.
That was me saying, okay, I've done it in my mouth.
Better imbibed separately.
Yeah, I think the Keanu Reeves flavor kind of overwhelms it.
Yeah.
It's not horrible. It's just nothing impressive.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Charlie?
I'm just wondering about the words that they use for the name. I'm like, okay, lemonade and punch, but all the stuff before it, could you just interchange it? Do you think it gives you any indication of what the flavor would be, calling something Point Break or Laguna, Baja Laguna?
Could it be Point Break Lemonade?
Yeah.
And Laguna Punch?
The lemonade's a little laid back, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a little catty, the flavor. It's a little made for TV. But the Baja Point Break Punch, that's a real cinematic drink.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked.
That tastes of freedom and robberies.
What have you been robbed of?
My friend at...
No, you're doing the robbing.
Oh, okay.
My friend at work is mad that I haven't seen Point Break. I think it's Point Break. Should I text him?
It's not the kind of movie to get mad over, although it is a decent movie.
Well, so the real reason why he's mad is I did an Adam Gobesky to him.
Which is?
So he was talking about movies that he's seen, and I go, oh, what movie? And he said it has like Keanu Reeves, or he said something. And I go, oh, that's the reason. I don't watch movies.
Oh, come on.
So then he got really mad at me.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Adam do it so many times at Mass that I figured everyone was in on the joke.
Oh, you gotta remember that everyone was mad at me too.
I mean, we're friends now, but it was funny. We were hanging out the other day, and he like was like, I was legitimately mad. So this summer, I guess I'm having some sort of intervention, and we're gonna. Is it set in Miami? Is the movie set in Miami?
I think it's maybe California. It'd be from a guess.
I think it's just set in Utah. That's why they call him Utah, because it's in the Great Salt Lake.
That's his name.
All right. Well, I may be getting things mixed up in my head, but anyway, we're gonna dress up. We were gonna dress up like Miami Vice people. Apparently, I don't know. I could be getting two different parties mixed up.
Turns out it's literally Miami Vice, the Michael Mann movie.
Wait, that's a movie?
Oh yeah.
They made one. Yeah.
I just can't watch all the movies.
That is true.
So I have an additional soda. I have Sprite Chill Cherry Lime.
You don't have a Dr. Pepper Coconut, whatever that was?
What?
Somebody at work had that.
Oh. Never heard of this.
He wouldn't let me taste it, but he did let me smell it.
They're always telling me that.
It smelled like Dr. Pepper.
Okay. Well, this is lemon, lime, and cherry lime flavored, so I expect it to be underwhelming.
Now, is the chill, is that like...
So instead of being transparent, it's translucent white. It looks like the white Mountain Dew almost.
Okay.
Or like a Fresca?
Yeah, it's Fresca colored.
I don't think Point Break like lime. Determines where it's actually set. Although apparently part of it was filmed in Utah. At Lake Powell.
We're talking about Point Break again?
We're never not.
I did look it up, and it was Point Break.
Tell him you only watched the remake.
It's because he was talking about Patrick Swayze is the reason.
Oh, so tell him you'll only watch Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the whooping scenes.
The cherry limeade is okay, but it's not like it's going to be a go-to. I don't hate it.
Now mix it with the others.
Okay. Ugh. I
thought that was Charlie's thing.
He has to do it vicariously.
I'm probably not going to actually do it because I'm, full of soda. I've got too much sugar in me already.
Unless Charlie just goes upstairs and grabs whatever drinks he can find and mixes them.
But
so like Pepsi, milk, water.
Ew. He has milk upstairs?
I assume.
Yeah, I have children. We got milk.
Is that like, would that be
pilk? Pilk water. Watered down pilk.
Pilk water.
Pepto-Bismol.
You know, I do have Pepto-Bismol water sometimes because you're trying to rinse it out of the cup, and you take those watered down shots to really get it.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Because the alternative is just stick your tongue in there and lick it around,
Well, that's what I do when I have the little measuring cup, but I didn't have one last time, so I just kind of eyeballed it into like a solo cup. But then if you then kind of rinse the cup and slosh it around, it gets really foamy. And so I was kind of like eating and drinking the watered down, lightly pink.
Like when we came,
it was my finest hour.
So no, gross. your finest hour was when we were in Arizona and we came back and you had your Metamucil that all congealed to the top of water.
Like once it's the gelled mass and you just
you had put the powder in a glass of water but never really like you never drank it and then we came back it was all congealed at the top.
I just left it on the counter to become.
You remember that?
I do because it was just a clear gel on top. Oh. And I think Paul still drank it.
I think he did. And the funny thing was that he got stopped by TSA for having a brick of Metamucil powder in his carry-on.
Just like a half full, like gallon-sized bag, Ziploc bag folded in half,
Just powder. Fine. Didn't they test it?
They swabbed it or whatever, yeah, for bombs. And she was like, is it protein powder? And I was like, no, it's Metamucil. She was like, oh, my husband loves that or something.
He has a 75th birthday next week.
So anyway, it's a peachy orange color again. And let's give it a try. Yeah, I mean, it's the overwhelming flavor is sweet. It's sweet fruit. There's just too many different fruits in this thing. Like, I can pick them out if I want to, you know, if I want to think about it, but it's too much. But I also have the new Mr. Beast Feastables Milk Crunch Bar.
What? Why?
And they had an old recipe Milk Crunch Bar at the checkout area. So if you really wanted to, I could do a side-by-side of those.
Where did you get this?
What is a Milk Crunch Bar?
A milk crunch bar, sorry.
Come on, Northern City vowel shift is okay.
Is that what you guys are saying?
Milk.
Milk.
You know what, Tony? You're absolutely right.
Hey, see? I took one class in linguistics.
I watched one video by Dr. Jeff Lindsay on YouTube.
I got offended at work today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What offended you?
Well, so I said that I went to the bar last night with this girl from work, and someone looked at me and I was like, oh no, not like that. And she was like, oh, I know you wouldn't have like her, but she doesn't know that I get. So then I was like, well, I could get this girl. So then I was offended that she thought I wasn't good looking enough for. And then I was like, why am I getting mad about this?
No, that's fair.
I was like, you don't know me. I can totally get girls. Right, Paul?
Yeah.
See?
And I know you, and I'm certain that you could.
That's what I'm going to tell everyone. My friend Paul thinks I can get anyone I want. Like, I just change it. He says, anyone is mine.
I didn't say that. Whoops.
Oops. So should we list our favorite Taylor Swift songs from her newest album?
Yes, actually. Do you have a favorite yet?
I have to do a full listen right now.
So it's 31 songs. It was a double album.
Oh,
right. So you've only been able to listen to it like 5 or 6 times already then.
I have thoughts about this. I don't think it's her best.
We're canceled.
I was going to say, I think we're getting canceled now.
She only gets better, Tony.
But my top 4 are I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, Down Bad, The Tortured Poets Department, and then the diss track to Kim Kardashian, Thank You, Amy.
She does diss tracks?
Yes, it's amazing.
Hmm. Well then, so was that a 4-1 ranking or a 1-4 ranking?
1-4.
Okay.
Doug, what's yours?
It's hard to choose. It really is hard to choose. I'm probably going to go with So Long London.
That's a good one.
Just because I really like the bass on that one. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, Down Bad, and probably Fortnite.
Really?
Just squeaks it out past Tortured Poets Department.
All right. Yeah, Fortnite.
I actually really like Fortnite.
I like that it's the first one.
Yeah.
And then...
I know she was a big gamer.
Yeah. Is that her gamer debut?
It's not spelled that way.
Is she going to play Fortnite in Fortnite?
I mean, she does talk about wanting to kill people in it, though. So
it does feel, though, like that she was just at the Super Bowl and was like, hey, Post Malone, you want to do a song with me? Like,
wait, unironically, has everyone listened to this entire album? When did this even come out? I feel like
Friday.
Whoa, no. Bro.
Last week.
That's earth-changing, man.
I thought this was a bit at first, and then people got a little more into detail than I was expecting. Huh. I didn't do my homework. Okay. Yeah,
those are all songs on the album that me and Doug said.
Yeah. We should have an album march.
I haven't actually... Oh, my gosh.
Every album.
Starting with, like, you know, records from, like, the turn of the century.
Yep. Yeah. Like the literal cylinders they used to make. Yeah.
So this week we're talking about the Hoagy Carmichael piece. Name a Hoagy Carmichael song.
Do you like the Florence and the Machine one?
Yes. Although... So I put on the album, like I just, you know, hit play and was listening to it in the car. Yeah. And that song came on and I was like, I mean, like, you hear the instrumentals first, and then Taylor Swift starts singing, right? And at this point, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Why is Taylor Swift basically, like, stealing Florence and the Machine's sound? And then Florence Welch starts singing, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction, yeah. Okay, I do like it, guys.
I mean, I was able to listen to the whole thing all the way through at least a couple times, so.
The criticism I'd read about it, because as noted, I have not actually listened to it yet, was that maybe
it wasn't even out yet.
Well, okay, I knew it was reviewed at least. I have not listened to any of it, but
everyone knows he personally hands out, you know, records to Anthony Fantano.
It's a thing I didn't follow, okay? I just am again surprised that as many of us have listened to it as have. Is it wordier than usual? Because on more than one like reaction I read to it in an article, like it was, you know, she felt like if she crammed as many words as possible in, it became art, and instead it was just way too much. Is that
it's way more artsy than like Midnight's. It reminds me a lot of like Folklore, right? Where she's actually like it's like actual like poet, like I don't poetry, like I don't know. It feels more like she's actually like putting like it's a breakup piece with what's his name, Joe, I forget his last name, but anyway, her last boyfriend that like she moved to London for and like changed her whole life, and then he just treated her like and so this is kind of like her breaking up, then kind of like demonstrating how she was like at the top of her career and like did the Eras tour, was getting all of this praise, and then like was like, but I'm absolutely miserable doing this and nobody knows. And so I like it from that piece of like, yes, it's wordy, but like if you actually listen to the words, there is something there.
Also, I don't know what you expect from an album literally called The Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think a lot of people like actually like, because like the last couple of her albums have been such like pop hits. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I don't think people were really expecting an actual like, I don't know the words I'm trying to say right now. I just, like, I love Taylor Swift so much.
Like the back half of it, so I guess the second record of the double record album is very much indie folk singer feel. I'm hearing that,
it's the next generation's Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Well, so I also heard from one of my friends that the first half of it has one producer and the second half has a different producer.
Hmm.
So that accounts for part of the difference in the sound. So the first half is Jack Antonoff, and I don't remember who the second half is.
So is this like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness? There's two different to bring it back to the podcast.
So here's my experience. Does she have a lyric about like cutting off her finger or something like that? Or Jesus. Cutting off a finger somewhere in it? Because my daughter asked me about that, and they're like, oh, I guess we're not playing that for her anymore.
I don't remember that.
Oh, she asked us about that because, like, well, what does Taylor Swift mean when she says that? And I'm like,
turns out that she's just been listening to Papa Roach instead.
She always wants pizza.
Exactly.
My life into pizza. Ah, there we go. The producer on the second half is Aaron Dessner, who I don't recognize.
The way you said it, though, we're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. It's this person. I don't know who that is.
I mean, apparently Taylor Swift injured her hand about a year, almost exactly a year ago.
When she cut one of her fingers off?
Yeah, she fell and cut her hand at Houston Eras Tour. So maybe she was talking about that.
That could very well be, yeah.
You should tell her that Taylor Swift is in Carmel by the Sea, which is like 5 miles away from where I'm at right now, and I'm talking to you all instead of going down and combing the area. I actually hate it, but I love how on Instagram everywhere it was like, oh my God, Taylor Swift is in Monterey. Like, she's with Travis Kelce and Bradley Cooper and whoever Bradley Cooper's wife is, or girlfriend, or whoever.
It's like Gigi Hadid, yeah.
Yeah, that person.
Wow.
I just saw the article earlier today, yeah.
Oh, see? I told you, everybody knows.
Can I just say that the main thing I know about Jack Aronoff is that he's in the Sparks Brothers documentary?
Jack Antonoff,
whatever his name is. That's the fun guy, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He likes Sparks, so he's okay in my book. Even though fun isn't.
So then you're a Swiftie.
Yeah.
Are you a Swiftie or do you not care?
I am.
She's choosing fine. His words carefully.
No, she's fine. I don't know that I've ever really dug into her catalog. I know that, like, when her stuff comes on the radio, I'm usually like, oh, this is a fun song. But
I fell in love with the Eras Tour, and like, I've never really got caught up in like what I would consider a cultural moment. Maybe like the election of Barack Obama is like where I got kind of caught up in something like that. But it just felt like it was like a rock star. Like I've never actually like felt that energy. And then I really like her message just for like women in general and like the message of empowerment. And so I just really, I don't know. I really like her as an artist.
Hey, cool. Good for you.
I mean, if you look at who doesn't like her.
Somebody help me. Come on. Charlie not clapping couldn't help.
I did.
Watching that Skype icon resolutely stay unloaded.
Must not have hit the volume threshold required.
Are there any cultural moments I've been a part of?
Yeah, like what's a cultural moment that you felt like was bigger than you, that like transcended?
Nothing is bigger than me.
One cool thing that you mentioned Obama was that he came to Madison near the Capitol, like I think it was the day before the election in 2012. And like Bruce Springsteen came along and like played a set. Oh, wow. I was like, wow. No, that was really awesome.
I thought you didn't go to that.
No, I went to that.
He just told you he didn't go. Hey, he's like, I
have 20 years of podcasts to prove otherwise.
Don't cross-reference that with my work schedule.
I couldn't tell Adam that I supported Obama.
Look, I just didn't think we needed yet another Irish president.
I was worried what you're about to say for some reason, but I knew what was gonna happen.
I saw Barack Obama when he came to MSU.
Same.
Yeah,
we were at the same place, but by we didn't music. Know each other.
Yeah, I don't think we had even met yet.
Nope. I didn't even know who Adam was.
It's true.
I mean, consciously,
still don't know who Tony is. Finding out all sorts of things.
That was 14. Like,
apparently, he lives in Monterey,
California.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you were in, like, Tennessee or something.
Well, you're the only 10 I see.
He has been waiting for years for someone to say the word Tennessee.
That is a very, like, Pee Wee Herman, like, he said the word!
Hey, I'm Tennessee and I'm a pizza freak.
Oh, shoot.
Forgot about that one.
I don't think I ever knew about that one.
Pizza. It's the Tim and Eric.
You've seen
Totino's
it.
Pizza rolls.
Oh, okay.
100 seen it.
And I have a secret. I am pizza. Totino's boy.
So am I allowed to try and make Charlie feel old?
Yes.
Thank you. So I was at work and somehow we were discussing like, what movies do you think you've seen the most, like, all time? Which was usually, like, childhood stuff. And somehow that turned into, what movies do you think your parents watched the most and you were around for it? That kind of thing. And one guy was like, man, when I was in high school, my dad's favorite movie, watched it all the time, was Blade Runner 2049. Oh. And I was like, what? I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was working with a 12-year-old.
This is illegal. Go home.
So that's my story. I just wanted to share.
I've been sufficiently aged by that comment.
I remember a moment in time where my dad was watching The Departed all the time. Like, it was just on television. And he's just like, you just always get sized. Like, it's such a good movie.
Seems like the kind of thing you watch, like, you know, you watch it every time you're on TV, but you never quite, you know, you just fall asleep on the couch, you know.
There's another one. Is it like U.S. Marshals or
probably? Oh, yeah.
Is it Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah. It's like the sequel to The Fugitive,
Sequel.
Yeah. My dad loved that one, but it would be on. He's just like, I'm just going to watch this now.
Dad, you were supposed to take me to get ice cream. I know, but U.S. Marshals is on.
Your birthday's canceled. Gotta sit down.
And the rule is, if you catch it by the half, then you have to watch it.
I don't make the rules, Tony.
Mom, you got to cancel the cable subscription. We can't have TNT on all the time.
Looking at it, it was definitely the U.S. Marshals. Yeah. Oh, Wesley Snipes. Yes. Okay. Yep. Oh, Robert Downey Jr.
That
in
movie
it.
Probably since the theater.
Not sure I've ever seen it.
We were a big fugitive family, so.
I like to imagine that Ron just sat young Paul down and said, all right, before we watch The Fugitive, we have to watch the TV show.
The Fugitive.
We're going to do this properly. I have them all on VHS.
Adam, were you ever in the same class? It was either in high school or middle school where, like, we watched The Fugitive, but, like, we had to watch an episode of The Fugitive before, like, class.
Not me.
Okay, I don't remember where that was from. It seems like maybe an Ellsworth thing, but, like, I'm like, all right. Because it wasn't just, like, wasting time in class, right? Like, you throw on a movie, and like, we have to watch an episode of the TV show first, and then we can watch the movie.
What course was this? Like,
I don't
chemistry?
Know. That's why I was asking. I don't remember.
Civics. Teaching all about the legal system and how it can fail you.
Have to take matters
I'm
into your own hands.
Bill. Yeah, I'm only a bill. that movie?
I think you nailed it, yeah.
I'll be right back. I gotta go grab my stuff out of the laundry.
Is that code for poop?
No, it's code for the dryer is done. I need to go grab my stuff out of it.
Oh, look at this guy takes the stuff out of the dryer. Doesn't just leave it there overnight. Go to work wrinkly.
Well, he has a shared, like he has a unit.
Oh, so someone will just take it and like throw it on the floor.
Right.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Do you think he uses the tennis balls?
Ooh, great question. We'll have to ask him when he gets back. We'll have to shame him if he doesn't. And if he does, still shame.
Do you use the tennis balls?
Yeah, of course.
What?
What do you mean, what?
I've never used the tennis balls.
It's just, you know, actually, I don't know. I shouldn't have said what. I should say, I can't imagine being so prepared.
I mean, to be fair, they're not actually tennis balls. They're some, like, special wool ball thing.
Oh no.
To be
just
fair, it's
tennis
actually
ball.
More involved than what you're talking about.
To be fair, it's harder. It was some gift that Brianne's mother gave us.
Oh, okay.
And there's ostensibly there's a white fabric and a dark fabric set, but I don't understand why. So there's just always the dark fabric set in there. I basically never take them out, and then occasionally like they roll out of a shirt without unfolding.
The kids were just up north at Grandpa and Grandpa's, and they did their laundry. And when we came back, we tried to put Connor in one of his footy pajamas. And we're like, why won't his foot fit? And we just kept trying to jam it in there and realized there was one of those balls at the bottom.
Oh. I hope that's a formative memory for him.
Go in!
Not like the time where I was at my grandma and grandpa's and they did my laundry and I came back and I was allergic to the detergent that they used.
Oh, no.
Last time I did laundry, I left a really nice pen in my jeans and managed to stain two pairs of jeans.
That is the worst. Oh,
I just went on to Amazon and ordered did a reorder of two more jeans.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I ordered more pens.
I ordered two more jeans, and then I said, the jeans that I just bought are stained with pens.
Hey, that that's not a bad idea. It's like the
exact get a good,
yeah, it's Paul's dishonest. Gonna get a good
Yelp review. He's gonna throw a good Amazon review for him.
But I got
yeah, some. You can get these jeans if you want to put pens in and stain them.
They really do. Like one of them isn't so bad, but the other one does look like calico cut pants.
Just tell them it's an old one. It's an old piss name.
You gotta give.
I drove to Vegas was it last weekend or 2 weekends ago? Anyway, and I drove an electric car, so we had to stop at like 5 different places to charge. But that's not the story. The last place we stopped, it told us that the exit was Calco Road exit, and I was like, we are totally stopping here. So
what was it like?
So there was this place called Eddie's World, and it was Paul's heaven. Like it was just candy everywhere, just
anime girl figurines everywhere.
There was, I mean, yeah, like not like anime girl, but like a lot of like pictures of like bears and like, you know. Like bears,
what
like
kind of bears,
like the animal cartoon, like kind of like the Berenstain Bear, right? Like they're doing human things, like they're eating at a picnic table and eating candy. There's a lot of candy here. That's really what I'm getting at, and Paul would have loved it. I think it was like 10 o'clock, and it was just like the lights were just so blinding. You like walked in, you're like, oh my god.
I was just talking about how much I miss that, you know?
It was like a Buc-ee's, if you've ever been to one.
Not.
Never. Are those like mainly in like Texas or?
They're spreading. There was just a news article about how there's a sign up in Michigan now that says 444 miles from the nearest Buc-ee's, which makes people think maybe there'll be Buc-ee's here soon.
One of my favorites was someone was like, are we going to Busey's? And now I can only think Gary Busey is behind it.
I mean, he does have that college in Madison.
That's right. I remember.
School of Buseyness.
So, Doug, do you have tennis balls for your laundry?
No. That would probably make a lot of noise.
Oh?
Well, someone lives above the laundry room.
Isn't it you?
Not directly above it.
Well, you're not putting in like a dozen tennis balls, just like 4.
No, I just air dry my tennis balls.
I have more questions.
That grew on me. You know, when you first said it, I didn't think it was that funny, and then I thought about it for another couple seconds, and I liked it.
You know, I'm not sure if it's like good or not, but I'm kind of taken to the blow dryer.
For what? Oh, God.
For tennis balls or your clothes?
For the tennis balls and kind of the vicinity, the rest of the area as well.
I don't find this funny anymore.
Haven't you ever wondered what it would be like to be totally bone dry?
I don't know
what does that mean.
Like, yeah, just being completely dehydrated.
I leave it as an exercise for the listener.
Yeah.
Oh, this is some shenanigans right there, Paul.
For real. Coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you, Adam, but I almost put shenanigans into peril.
Okay.
I almost took a different job.
Oh, whoa.
At the University of Oregon, but I turned the job down. I said, I'm not leaving!
Because of shenanigans?
That actually played a bigger role than I thought.
Can't leave now.
Not to get into the whole negotiation, but they didn't want to pay me money. Like,
what were they going to pay you with? Exposure?
They were like, we can offer you credits toward your degree.
What degree?
What?
I'm joking. Big joke. No, it just, it was.
It's a job for education.
Yeah. No, I just, they were going to pay a lot less than the market value. So I left. I just walked away. I said, thank you.
No, that's fair. You got to know your worth.
Yeah.
especially in this economy.
Yeah.
Paul loves to say that to me. In this economy? You're going to change jobs in this economy?
In this relatively decent economy?
Yeah, with very low unemployment. So I have these Mr. Beast bars.
Oh yeah.
You're going to eat my candy.
Yeah, do you want me to give it a try, see if it's any better?
I'm sorry, Doug, that I took your thunder. You totally were going to talk about that like an hour ago.
So the real question is, do I start with the old formulation or start with the new one?
Old.
Okay. So the old formulation is notable for saying on the front only 6 ingredients.
Damn, they predict that the candle mark is just going to keep going up.
It's because every time you click on it, it goes up a dollar.
So I'm just going to eat the small share portion of this. You know how a Nestle Crunch Bar has just, you know, the nice crunchiness because of the puffed rice?
Yeah.
Imagine if we cut the amount of puffed rice in half.
Okay.
And then for the chocolate, we used semi-sweet chocolate chips for baking.
Okay.
That's basically what this tastes like.
So better than Palmer's.
I mean, true, yeah.
Good, all right.
Cleanse my palate with some lemonade. Lemonade-flavored dew, I guess. All right, well, right away, the packaging is certainly a lot friendlier. It's a brighter color. It's shinier. It says Feastables in much larger writing.
Did they increase the number of ingredients?
They did. I believe so. We've got milk chocolate and crisp rice, except the milk chocolate itself contains 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ingredients, and the crisp rice contains 3 ingredients.
You got to choose a way. You got to either go for the people who don't want ingredients, or, you know, you can put a bunch of stuff in it and make it taste as good as possible, I guess.
Well, maybe. We're about to see about that. See if it's actually any better. It's definitely meltier. That is a profoundly different flavor.
Good or bad?
Let me try another. I'm not sure.
That was one hell of a pause.
That's not a great sign.
Is the flavor still chocolate or?
It's very much milk chocolate flavor.
But what kind of milk?
Pilk chocolate.
Actually, Hershey's pilk
chocolate bar.
Yeah, it is a much, much creamier and mellower chocolate flavor.
But is it any good? Is it worth the $3 you spend on it?
No.
All right.
The one with the fewer ingredients is kind of like, I appreciate the simple ingredients, although the flavor profile is kind of, why does this exist? This is just Hershey's chocolate chips. This one is more like, I wish I were eating a Crunch Bar. They 100% knocked it out of the park on the making it not taste like it's just melted chocolate chips aspect.
All right. I can already taste those Mr. Beast endorsement bucks coming in.
What if he did? What if he was just like, I'm going to give everyone on this podcast $10 million?
I mean, if he could turn it into extra content, then I think he'd do it anyway.
I think Mr. Beast just is exhausted all the time. Doing not fun things for the views.
He's like, I'm trying to actually be bad at my job, but it won't.
I mean,
right? Like, I was trapped in a coffin for a full week or whatever. Like, I think he's having a good time.
I mean, have you seen the pictures of him smiling? It's not like a joyful smile. It's like a grimacing smile.
Yeah, Mr. Beast, give me money to gamble.
All right. That was direct and to the point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were we not? No, we're not trying to get sponsors here?
No, we admire the simplicity of your pitch.
I mean, if he gave us each $10,000, that would still be like the cheapest video he's ever produced. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did they go 10 million? ROI. I'll take 10,000.
Only if he gets a video out of it.
That's true, but
We could make a video for him.
True.
Me and Paul, we could totally make a video.
Figure out how to spend our how to spend our Mr. Beast money ahead of time. Like, that should be a thing. Like, you compete for, like, who's going to get Mr. Beast to pay for what they already bought. And, like, but, and there's no limit to how much you can spend.
The saddest, like, most desperate reality show of all time.
Yeah.
So, just like taking out as many credit, like maxing out as much credit as you can.
Paul's like, so I just cashed out my entire retirement saving.
Why does this sound like the opening of Tim and Eric's $1 billion movie? They gave us $1 billion, so we spent it on this suit. They're real diamonds. What do you think about that, Charlie?
A diamond suit? It's got potential. No.
No, but don't act like you haven't been paying attention to the whole conversation.
I like Paul's idea.
Yeah, I like it too.
The desperation game?
Yeah. Like, how many people would you, like, because at some point it's just like overwhelmingly tragic. So how many people do you have compete?
It's like Brewster's Millions, except like only one gets to be Brewster and you spend.
I don't know, however many people are in Squid Game.
It's like 100 or something. I don't remember how much that was.
There's at least 100. Maybe
that's a good couple hundred. Question.
How many people are in Squid Game to start?
So I've never seen Squid Game, but I think we should make a knockoff version called Squib Game, where we don't actually murder the contestants, but we just make it look like we do.
So that is
practical special effects.
That is, in fact, the Netflix actual reality show Squid Game. It's kind of lame because they just slump over like they died.
Wait, hold on. They just slump over? Are there squibs?
Yes, there are squibs, as I recall.
456 players.
In the game show? Okay.
Did you want to say that on the microphone so everyone can hear you, Brianne?
Sure.
All right. Brianne would like to give her a hot take on the Netflix reality show Squid Game, the competition or whatever it's called.
So I saw both the TV series and the Netflix series, and it just loses its luster when they don't actually die.
Yeah.
Do they at least pretend to die?
Yeah, but only for a bit. She says it's not worth it.
See, that should have been one of the games, is how long can you pretend to die?
Ooh. Paul would be an expert at that.
So if you actually die, do you get ejected for cheating?
Probably depends on the circumstances. Like, maybe you're choking, but you don't want that guy to know that you're choking.
That is one of the more obscure, I think you should leave, bits. Hats off to you.
Do you want me to do the Heimlich on you? I'm fine.
It was the water. Something about it stinks.
Hey, man, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm going to go outside and talk to those people.
Does anyone else have any topics? Should we wrap up at this
point? I think we can wrap up, yeah.
Can I just say I watched Girls 5 Eva, and I highly recommend that show.
Okay. Yeah, you can say that.
I thought you were going to stop and just say you watched Girls, and I was like, well, okay. It's a little bit more surprising, but...
Look, I'm 15 years behind the zeitgeist, but I'm catching up.
I'm a little late to this one, but, you know, go watch Girls and make sure you vote for Hillary this November.
Oh, Fallout was delightful, if people are looking for TV recommendations. I'm not saying anything about it.
I won't say anything, no spoilers, but I agree. Yeah, we finished it, too.
You don't even play the games, Charlie. I'm gatekeeping you.
I played 2 and 3, thank you.
Knowing about games isn't cool. That was a I think you should leave reference. Tim Meadows chefs, that is someone.
Did you beat 2 or 3, Charlie?
Yes, I think I beat both of them.
But you didn't play New Vegas?
I did not.
So you're a poser!
I'm not a completionist.
Do 1 and 2 hold up? I've never played the original, like, isometric whatever.
I mean, I don't know if it holds up. I played it back in the day, so, but I remember it being cool.
I might check it out.
I think I know someone who's played those recently and enjoyed it.
I always install them and then get, like, maybe 10 minutes in and then hop.
I'm sure I would enjoy, like, the dialogue, the humor, all that. Just, I don't know if a, whatever, 30-year-old game is, we'll see.
So a friend of mine actually did start Fallout 3 recently on the PlayStation 3. And he said that he killed everyone in the first vault because he was so sick of having to deal with them and talk with them. He just wanted to get out of the vault and do stuff. So my question to you guys is that normal?
I didn't know you could do that, so I'm more impressed than anything.
Okay.
I feel like you'd either have to have a mod or he didn't actually kill everyone.
Adam's complaint is, oh, you didn't kill the children. You can't say it's everyone if you left the children alive.
Do you know about the Fallout child killer?
I just read that. I didn't remember that at
article.
All.
I read that article and thought to myself, you know, I vaguely remember reading about this in like PC Gamer 20 years ago or something. Or maybe Reddit 10 years ago. I don't know.
Man, I miss PC Gamer. Those demo discs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that reminds me. I haven't gotten any issues of Game Informer yet recently.
Did they just completely cease printing?
I don't know. They said they were going to bring it back and they took my money, but...
I sent an email to support being like, it appears that I'm signed up for the digital. Can I get the print edition? And I got radio silence from GameStop's support email.
You probably have to go through Game Informer directly at this point.
Oh, okay.
Except I haven't gotten any yet. I haven't gotten any physical copies yet, so...
Yeah, if you start getting them, then I will consider actually renewing my GameStop membership. But I think as of right now...
No, no, Paul. Let it roll off. No, it's not part of the membership.
Oh, it isn't? They don't.
This is just subscribe to the magazine separately.
This is just going to a magazine's website and buying the magazine. Okay.
You can still do that?
I wish, like, that you could just still buy a thick EGM in the store, you know?
Please support Game Informer. Print magazine subscriptions are less than $2 per issue, is what it says on the top when you go to GameInformer.com.
Nice. Could probably still go to a Barnes & Noble and get like Retro Gamer or something, Paul.
I do like Retro Gamer. Once in a while, I'll buy one. There's just all that, you know, all that UK stuff in there, that ZX Spectrum, but it's fine. But that it has sufficient glossiness for me.
What's your favorite gaming magazine, Charlie?
Nintendo Power, for sure.
Good choice.
A real company man.
Yeah. Oh, man, I would look through maps of games that I've never played, still haven't played. And several that I eventually got the chance to play because of Adam, which was kind of fun.
And then learned how disappointing they were.
Exactly.
Nintendo Power is a podcast now? What?
Everything's a podcast now. Those things are so stupid. Aware.
Yeah, they took my money a month ago. I haven't gotten anything from it yet, so.
Wow, Nintendo Power went longer than I thought it did. For some reason, I didn't think it made it to 2012.
Oh, wow. Me either.
Wow.
2012. What was the Nintendo system at that time? Was
Wii?
Probably. It was just still original Wii? Like the Wii U wasn't out?
I think Wii U was like 2013 because the Switch came out, I think, 2017. And it was a relatively short-lived console. Mm. It would have been near the end of the Wii's lifespan, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean, it was all hype for the Wii U, but hadn't come out yet.
The Wii U came out November 18th, 2012.
Hmm. All right, well, the last issue was...
That's why I didn't
December 11th, 2012. Didn't have
a magazine to push the system.
285 issues.
Wow.
The final issue, New Super Mario Bros. U.
Wow.
All right, well, on that happy note, thanks, everyone, for joining us on our podcast. I'm Charlie Wallace.
I'm Adam Kobeski. Wait a second. Like a Bugs Bunny Donald Duck or... Wait, Daffy Duck? Now I'm really confused. Situation.
Daffy Donny Donald Duck.
Well, I can say for sure that we had four guests today. They were Doug Kobeski.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Wilcox.
I really thought someone else was going to chime in.
That's what I was waiting for.
Oh...
Do it again.
We've got Doug Kobeski.
It was a pleasure.
Paul Wilcox.
Thank Cheery you
for
bye.
Having me.
Network.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I got you. My bad.
Start from the top.
Got Doug Kobeski.
It was a pleasure.
Paul Wilcox.
Cheery bye.
Kevin Vredevogue.
I can't go because I am Kevin Vertifoglio. So.
Now you know how it feels.
And Tony Huff.
Thanks for having me.
I don't All sound right. like that.
Tony never says thanks.
Hey, everybody, my name's Tony Huff.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Tony.
You're very welcome.
I'm a pizza
Accurate
freak.
Representation. Why do I feel like you were Jon Stewart rubbing his nipples when you were doing that?
I was thinking the one guy from Family Guy.
Oh, really?
Come on,
Herbert.
Oh, yeah. That was personal.
Yeah, he almost is certainly dead.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to our show. Make sure to check out our website at GobeskiWalshReport.com.
Hey everybody, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Just follow us at GW Report and like our page on Facebook, The Gobeski Wallace Report.
And hey everybody, tune in to next episode where there's sure to be tons more hilarity that we know you'll enjoy.
Hey everybody.
How about Adam? Are you ready, Adam?
Hello. So this is me. I'm talking. Just, I don't know, having a great time in my new chair. My tongue kind of hurts. I think it might be affecting the way I sound a little bit.
I think we'll call that good.
Just don't make him sound so stupid.
Oh, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that.
Okay. Are you going to do meat wad this entire episode? Because more power to ya.
Is that what it sounds like right now?
That's kind of thing.
It's half Gollum.
Like Lilo and Stitch, kind of.
I really need to not bite my tongue. Apparently it really affects how I sound.
Sorry, not Gollum. That's definitely Smeagol.
I'm just trying to talk.
Yeah, about hobbitses.
Filthy hobbitses. Oh, dang, they're making a NASA Artemis Space Launch System set.
Now you're kind of veering into a Jar Jar Binks kind of thing, I think.
Right. So
Look, man, it happens, right? I don't know what to tell you.
Devereaux.
Damn, that's a big set. It's got a launch tower and everything.
They don't make their wigs out of dead people hair.